Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
In a historic moment, the National Day of Prayer returned to the White House. It has been gone since President Barack Obama became president, so it has been booted out of the White House for at least 8 years. But on the National Day of Prayer, President Donald Trump not only brought the National Day of Prayer back to the White House, but also issued a very strong proclamation regarding the National Day of Prayer. And on the same day, he also issued an executive order regarding religious freedom. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. A historic week, Holly. On Tuesday of that week, you had the first time ever the White House actually honored Israel's Independence Day. Vice President Mike Pence, as we've already mentioned, spoke at that event, and we were at the White House. I was one of those invited guests there with other Christian leaders from around the country and also some Jewish leaders and rabbis as well. That was historic. Never before in the history of the White House does anyone ever remember that happening. Then on Thursday of that same week, so that happened on Tuesday, on Thursday of the same week, the president invites the National Day of Prayer back to the White House that had been booted out for 8 years by President Barack Obama. Not only booted out, but not even acknowledged by President Barack Obama. He invited it back in, and he issued a proclamation as well that was really strong and goes all the way back to quoting George Washington. It's just a great proclamation for the National Day of Prayer.
Yeah, it's just so encouraging to see God being invited back into the White House, back into our leadership, and President Donald Trump recognizing that and acknowledging our need for him and his need for him as well. So I'm very excited about all these first times that have happened that week.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then also, the executive order was issued that day as well, and that was amazing. And I know some people are out there, there's some people that were very excited about it, and there were some naysayers as well. Yeah. Let me address the executive order, what it did and what is remaining to be done. You know, if you go back and you compare this executive order to the leaked executive order that never was signed, but it was leaked to the public in February of this year. Certainly that one in February was more detailed than this one now. However, the one in February actually made some comments, statements, and so forth that are beyond the president's authority. The president, I remember, is the president of the United States. He's not the president of Florida or Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi. Those are states' issues. So the cases that are going on in the individual states, such as the baker and the florist, all of which are exceptionally important, and there's many, many others as well, those are state issues. The president does not have the ability to go in there and change that scenario. That's something that we have to battle on the state level. What he can do, however, is what he's already done. He can withdraw the federal government from forcing the states to promote the LGBT agenda. And he's already done that with a previous executive order, which pulled back Obama's executive order imposing the LGBT agenda on K through 12 public schools. Obama tried to force the states to go down the LGBT agenda. President Trump pulled that back. So this executive order has three main categories. The first one is a general proposition that the administration will protect vigorously and promote religious freedom. That's huge, Holly, because that goes across the board.
When he was campaigning, he promised to alleviate the Johnson Amendment, which has inhibited a lot of pastors and churches from really speaking out and endorsing particular candidates and getting involved in more politics, which we should be. We should be speaking out on those moral and spiritual issues. So he promised during his campaign that he would alleviate that, and this order does that.
Yeah, it does. The second area was the Johnson Amendment, this amendment that came into the IRS code in 1954. It's very strong in terms of what the president said in that executive order, and it's clearly within his authority to do so. And he addressed the IRS to ultimately use its maximum discretion so as not to punish any person, church, or religious organization with regards to their political speech. The third part, and we'll flesh these out, the third part was the conscience provision, particularly including, but not necessarily exclusive to, the Obamacare mandates. And that addressed the different departments and agencies to reverse those penalties and not to force these mandates on religious employers and ministries. And one of the things that was really amazing, it was an impromptu moment. It didn't look like it was pre-planned at all. Little Sisters of the Poor at the Rose Garden.
I love that.
And he invited them up. He pointed to them, and these nuns came up out of their chairs.
That was emotional.
And he brought them up to the stage, and he brought them on the stage, and he acknowledged them on the stage. Now, that alone was huge, because under the Obama administration, the Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious organizations and ministries have been targeted with these contraception and abortion drug and devices mandates.
Right. In fact, we filed an amicus brief on behalf of them when they went to the U.S. Supreme Court fighting for the right not to have to offer contraceptives and abortion-inducing drugs, because that is very much against what they believe in.
Conscience. Yeah. I mean, this is a direct violation of their religious freedom and their conscience rights.
Yes.
And for the past 8 years, these organizations, these ministries, have been targeted with this abortion agenda. And now the president of the United States, Donald Trump, invited them up. That one statement alone was worth the entire press conference and the executive order, because it sent a message that they are now welcome back into the White House, and he will do what he can to ultimately protect theirs and others' religious freedom. So that was huge.
Yes.
And he ultimately said, "You're back." And he talked about religious freedom is back. You're welcome here. You're my people. It was incredible. He ultimately, you know, some people said, well, he didn't go into some of these other areas. Look, first of all, before he came out there and spoke, and the vice president was there as well, the person acknowledged some of the members of the cabinet that were sitting there on that front row. I didn't count how many, but it was quite a number of secretaries of the cabinets that have been confirmed. These are people that are over the various different agencies, many of which will have to deal with these provisions in the executive order. I don't know of another press conference. There may have been with another executive order. I don't know, but this is quite unprecedented to have that many heads of the agencies there present to listen to the president say what he did on religious freedom. What was he doing? He was asking them to be there. He was telling them to implement what I am saying in this executive order. And not only...
clear message there.
clear message. And so it's very strong. And those agencies will implement it.
Mm.
But also, the Department of Justice, under this executive order, is required to pass some guidance, to create some guidance, not just on the Johnson Amendment, not just on the conscience provisions and the Obamacare mandates, but guidance. Remember, go back to the first paragraph. The first paragraph is religious liberty in general. The administration is going to vigorously promote and protect it. Second one is on the Johnson Amendment. Third paragraph is on the conscience clause and the Obamacare. So we're not talking about just putting this guidance from the Department of Justice in the Johnson Amendment or Obamacare, but across the board. Mm. So the Department of Justice, led by Jeff Sessions, will create this guidance.
Wow.
And that will ultimately be the implementation of this. So it was a huge day.
That's awesome. So the first paragraph will incorporate like our pastors, our ministries.
Lots of things.
Businesses.
Could be Title IX with regards to educational institutions. Anywhere that religious freedom is applicable. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I want to go into more detail on a subsequent faith and freedom. But that is a huge provision.
Praise God.
So people that were naysaying this, I want you to understand the reach of this executive order.
Right.
And, of course, the limits that the president has as a federal head. He's not the governor of a state. But as the federal head, he did what he could, and much more is going to be coming out of that executive order. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. Remember to pray for Liberty Counsel in your prayers and also your financial support. We have lots of opportunities to advance religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and marriage in the family. So go to lc.org. Remember to pray for us, and also you can be a financial partner with Liberty Council. You can make online contributions right there at lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.